weird.
Hey everybody, welcome to F This Movie. My name is Patrick Bromley, and I am joined tonight by Doug.
Hey, what's up?
In case you didn't notice, at the start of the show, there's usually theme music, and this week, there is no theme
music.
What's
even weirder is that I didn't do a fake theme song, like I've done
when there is actual theme music. So there's no theme music this week, and you're like, this is weird. Is this like a somber episode? Is this like a post-Katrina episode of F This Movie? Or
Listen, a couple people died. We didn't know them, but this is in memorial for them.
You know, like when Different Strokes would do the very special episode and like somebody would get touched in the back of a bike shop and they didn't want to jump into like the end credits of like, now the world don't move. So it would just be like sort of the slow piano version of now the world
like,
don't
you
move.
Shut the hell up, Alan Thicke. We're not going to go with your vocal stylings right now.
Just this the is slow instrumental piano. Version, right. Please. A well, boy got touched in a bike shop.
I would actually prefer...
S-H-O-P-P-E.
Well, is it Canadian? Or
yes.
Old English. I would actually prefer the episode from Family Ties where Alex P. Keaton's friend dies.
That one was totally just on.
For real?
Yes.
On Hub?
Yes, on Hub.
Man, Hub, for the record, we're going there right now. The TV channel Hub. It's new.
Programmed by me at 10 years old.
Absolutely.
Family Ties, Wonder Years, Doogie Howser, Transformers, another Family Ties.
It is. I could only imagine either done by you at 10 years old or any of us who like just baked out of their minds. Like, I definitely want to see Doogie Howser right now. It's honestly, it's new on my, I have Dish and it's new on there. And it was like, I have watched it more than I've watched any other channel that I can't. You know,
Family Ties is the bomb. The other night they were rerunning the episode where Alex falls in love with Courtney Cox as Lauren, the psychology student.
I vaguely remember that, yeah.
Like the last season or the last two seasons, she was his girlfriend when the show ended. And it bums me out because, like, she's cute, you know? Like,
she gets pulled on the stage by the boss.
She's a patoot, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I
but it makes me mad because I feel like it's a betrayal of Ellen, who will always be my love.
If nothing else, though, Ellen is the big winner.
Exactly.
She gets to deal with Michael J. Fox now.
She is his wife and caretaker. So here's the deal with why, A, there's no theme music, and B, we don't have a specific theme for this week's episode. My computer died and is currently being fixed by the wizards at Apple. And so
at the Genius Bar?
You know it. I took it to a Jamba Juice. I thought they meant any Genius Bar.
You took it to the Peach Pit.
So we're recording this show on Doug's MacBook, which is why we sound dumber?
Gayer.
Gayer is the word I was looking for.
Dumber.
So we didn't quite prepare like a specific theme show in terms of like, usually we talk about a specific movie, but we just felt like, no, let's just talk about anything this week.
Listen, F-heads, it's been a crazy week. It's been Thanksgiving. We've all had like a turkey comas.
Breaking Dawn, the number one movie 2 weeks in a row.
We've all had to carve another notch in our belts because we saw Breaking Dawn so many times.
Right. It's just been Breaking Dawn belt.
Patrick's
being
computer,
whittled away to nothing.
His computer died. So this is what you're stuck with, and I think the lesson we'd like to impart, lesson, that's not even the right word, what we're asking of you is that you've stuck with us for how many shows?
Almost 100. This is like 90, I think, or 89. I think this is 90.
Okay.
And? So at 90 episodes, hopefully you'll stick with us for an hour of just rambling, going nowhere, instead of saying, like, no, I like it when you talk about one specific movie. We're going to stick to movies, okay? We're not just going to, like, how was your day? But we don't have one specific cohesive theme this week.
We're basically peeling back the curtain on our lives. It's as if like you worked with me and sat in the adjacent office. And this is like, I talked to Patrick, for at least 2 hours a day,
usually on a podcast,
and you're hearing, what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
Cause we never ask each other how our day has been going.
So there's no intro music. There will also be no outro music.
Oh,
that's right. But, hopefully you'll enjoy this show. You know, you can always find us at fthismovie.blogspot.com. I just realized, you know, usually we run a poster with the show. I don't know what to run with this show. What will be the graphic that goes with this show?
Ooh, that's a good question. If you have any suggestions, you should probably email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com.
You can like us on Facebook. Is that the deal? Facebook.com/fthismovie.
Yeah.
Like follow us on Twitter.
Yeah, my question for Twitter is, I do most of the Twitter stuff, just kind of reposting what Patrick posts on the website.
And also doing the cool games.
The games. Oh, yeah. All the hashtaggery.
Yeah.
How do we get, if you're out there and you're like a Twitter expert, we're stuck at like 274.
It's very weird because it doesn't.
Bizarre. Yeah. And I know October, it makes perfect sense because we do the Scary Movie Month challenge and, you know, all the different contests. And obviously people are way invested in horror movies. So they're willing to kind of follow new things. And now it's November and nothing happened. And Now it's almost December.
We're kind of stagnant on the Twitter. So get people to follow us.
Yeah. What the hell's wrong with you people?
Set up new fake accounts and follow us.
Please.
Spam accounts.
Absolutely. Spam us, please.
And you can find us in the iTunes store by searching F This Movie. You can find us through DVD Verdict at dvdverdictpresents.com. Did I get all of them?
I think so. There's others out there, but those are the main ones.
That's
the,
a lot of ways email, to find our show.
Podcast at gmail.com.
Yeah. That's so many ways to find our show.
I know, and you think the Twitter would be exploding because of all the different ways people can find us, and it's really not. It's really bumming my out.
It burns your hide. Your it chap. Does. Absolutely. It chaps your ass.
My lips.
What? Chap, I don't. Why I said something different.
Anyway, what have you seen lately, Patrick?
Whoa, boy, what haven't I seen? Quite. There's a lot of stuff I haven't seen. Do you know I still haven't seen Gone with the Wind?
it's really not worth it.
I have seen a lot lately. it is screener season, so I've been seeing some interesting stuff, some good stuff, some not so good stuff.
Can I mention the fact that you're a member of an online critic association?
Yes.
So you get screeners. This is pretty cool, at least as far as I'm concerned, because I'm his friend and I get to maybe see some of these with him. He gets to see stuff as it's in the theater, like you just got The Descendants on a screener.
Correct.
That's awesome. So he
I
gets
watched
out, like,
it in my basement.
In your...
In my what?
In your panties. I was going to go.
Weird. Yes, I saw The Descendants, a movie I liked. I'm not positive I loved. I need to think about it some more. It has more of like an About Schmidt vibe. Alexander Payne, like, I saw Election. I loved that right away. Saw About Schmidt. Didn't love that right away.
Right.
Probably still don't love that. Saw Sideways. Loved that right away. Saw The Descendants. I'm like, I liked so much of it, but not all of it works. I think... It does some really interesting things. I think George Clooney is really good. And I just like Alexander Payne, how sort of unromantic he is about certain things. And I can't really specify that without giving some things away. But even just the way he shoots the country, I feel like he shoots locations in a way that a lot of filmmakers don't. You know, you're used to seeing Hawaii in like a way like... Forgetting Sarah Marshall or like 51st Dates or whatever. It always looks like a tourist commercial sort
Every
of.
Every movie does. Yeah.
Right. But he doesn't. He shoots it like, oh, this is a place where people live and like that functions.
It was even weird in Sideways because he shot the countryside, the California countryside, a very specific way.
Yeah.
Which in some ways was kind of, it was, he had affection for it. Like he shot it with these orange, like.
But he doesn't like romanticize it.
No, it's so like, it's so still so harsh and kind of cold and barren, but still like it's shot through a warm.
But it's also like they go to a diner and there's a waitress. I remember this in Sideways. And it's like that she really works at that diner. I mean, she doesn't. She's an actress who's been cast. But like you see people that feel like you're seeing real people instead of the work of a casting agent.
Right, it's all due to Alexander Constantine Papadopoulos.
So, I like so much of what he does. I don't think all of The Descendants works, but there's a lot of interesting things, and I feel like if I see it a couple more times, I'm actually going to like it more, because I definitely was left thinking about certain things, and like, it's a movie that doesn't necessarily make up its mind about all of its characters, that not, you know, no character is just one thing in the movie.
It takes place in Hawaii, too, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm going back to the location.
That's okay.
It seems every Hawaii, you're right, every Hawaiian thing is just like...
How blue can the water be?
Right, how green is the foliage?
How many times can we play Somewhere Over the Rainbow by that one dude from the end of Meet Joe Black? That's the first time I heard that version of the song. Whenever I can work in a Meet Joe Black reference, I will.
I almost feel like, and I haven't seen The Descendants, but it's almost as if Alexander Payne... is showing you what it would maybe be like to live in Hawaii, as you know, and just because it's like we live in Chicago, and there's some great things about Chicago. The downtown skyline is awesome, but if you live here, you're not really enamored with it. You're not walking the brownstones in Lincoln Park, and that walking Buckingham Fountain as a hot dog vendor goes, "What'll you have?"
It's not like it is on the show Boss, is what you're saying.
Thomas Kane.
There's a great line
in the Descendants, though, where George Clooney, who has a lot of voiceover in the movie, that's kind of problematic. But
I feel like a voiceover is a crutch.
Yeah, but in like an election, it works so great, you know.
True,
and maybe because it's different narrators. I don't know. Again,
well, it's also because it's Chris. What's his name? Chris Klein. Yeah. Going. She came over to my house for a blowjob and a fuck.
A hot tub.
A blowjob and a fuck. That's
one precedes the other. Jesus is what you're saying.
A hot tub.
There's a great line that George Clooney says that all of the businessmen in Hawaii look like bums or stuntmen, and I thought the stuntmen description was so. Observant. Again, I like all of his movies are sort of, except for Citizen Ruth, are sort of about a very specific kind of like American male desperation. Hmm. Whether it's Matthew Broderick or Jack Nicholson or Paul Giamatti or George Clooney.
I remember so little about Schmidt.
I kind of do too. I guess I need to see it again. Yeah.
Except Kathy Bates is naked in a hot tub, right?
Oh yeah.
A hot tub. I said it wrong. I not only said a blowjob and a fuck, but I got the order wrong too. Why do you have me on these podcasts?
I was listening to, I think, the Slash film cast, and they were talking about the Descendants, and someone pointed out that he had a problem with George Clooney in the role because he was too good looking.
Hmm.
And I just thought that was such a weird, ignorant thing to say, that like somehow this handsome man couldn't have family problems,
right,
or couldn't be a normal guy functioning in society who happens to be very good looking, you know?
Right, right.
And it's not as though the movie plays up his handsomeness. It doesn't play it down in that way as like Charlize Theron in Monster, you know?
Right, like, well, Jesus.
He's playing a male version of Eileen Wuornos. So I saw The Descendants. What else did I see? I saw a movie called Shame, which is...
Shameless?
Not Shameless. Ugh. It's called Shame. I don't even think it's out yet.
Is it on Showtime with Emmy Rossum?
It is not.
Damn it.
It's either playing in limited release now or is coming out. And it was directed by a guy named Steve McQueen, not the actor. And I was wondering, how many movies does this guy have to make before, like, any write-up will not have to say, not the actor?
But
like,
in reality, how is he getting away with Steve McQueen? I thought the... SAG and all these different unions basically make people to separate so that they aren't repeat names. Know.
Even when they're dead?
Like John C. Reilly.
Yeah.
He never goes by, I guess he added the C, like the SAG or whatever. I don't know if it was SAG or if it was a different union, but they said they made him add the initial because there might have been another John Reilly who was like,
weird.
I don't know, like a gaffer on some movie from the past.
I just assume because like Steve McQueen is dead, no one will be confused when it says written and directed by Steve McQueen.
The car from Cars is dead.
He made a movie with Michael Fassbender called Hunger, about a guy on a hunger strike. I did not see it. It's supposed to be very good.
Is that with Katniss Everdeen?
I believe so. Okay. That's a Hunger Game.
Oh,
not
damn it.
The same as a hunger strike. Anyway, Michael Fassbender is also in Shame, as is Carey Mulligan, and it's about a guy who's sort of almost a Patrick Bateman-esque, I mean, not a psychopath, but like super slick, successful New York money dude.
Okay.
Who is sort of struggling with a sex addiction, basically, is what the movie's about. Very strange relationship with his sister, played by Carey Mulligan. Again, super interesting, really good performance by Michael Fassbender. Doesn't add up to much, like very well directed, well shot, very sort of beautiful in like a surface way, which is, again, I think what he's going for, but doesn't ever really amount to much. It's cool to see Michael Fassbender like in the same year playing Magneto in X-Men First Class and this, which is like, it's being released as an NC-17 and it definitely like lays
so
it out
nudity.
There. There's lots of nudity, including a lot of Michael Fassbender cock.
Wait, what?
So it's interesting to see him carve out a career where he can do both. He can take like a movie star part and something really kind of dark and gritty and pull it off.
I'm ashamed that I want to see that.
I still hope they make him James Bond. If Daniel Craig bows out after Skyfall, maybe the worst named James Bond movie ever.
No, I disagree.
Quantum of Solace was not great either.
I was going to disagree the complete opposite way. I think it's the best name for a James Bond movie.
But watching Michael Fassbender in X-Men First Class, that first, like, half hour, you're just like, he should play James Bond. He's so awesome in that.
I remember there was a big push, and maybe my memory is kind of flawed, but there, I remember when Daniel Craig was announced.
Mm-hmm.
There was those who got it.
Right.
And those who were like, what? Pierce Brosnan is so dreamy and smooth and, like, right. And actually in retrospect, it's kind of creepy and weird and, like, you know, whatever. And Daniel Craig is, like, he's pretty awesome. But I remember there was a big push to get, and I forgot the guy's name, the other, he was in Croupier.
Oh, Clive Owen.
Clive Owen.
Yeah.
He was, that people were saying he should be James Bond. And I actually still think that would be a pretty cool casting decision because I love Clive Owen, although he maybe has lost some stock in some of his decisions and stuff that he's made, but. He would be a pretty
good James Bond. Yeah, he would be, and he would be, again, closer to, I think, you know, the direction they went with Daniel Craig, or even, I think, Michael Fassbender, which is, like, more like the old Sean Connery James Bond, where it's like, oh, he can kick ass, too. He's not just, like, a Pierce Brosnan, Roger Moore, like, skinny pussy.
Right.
Like, Clive Owen.
That was my favorite James Bond movie.
Skinny pussy.
Skinny pussy.
Yeah, Clive Owen could mess some people up, too. I remember people saying Rupert Everett for a while.
Oh, like, God.
I don't object to it because he's gay. I object to it because he's Pierce Brosnan all over again. Just like he's another pussy James Bond. And then you'd have to change all the James Bond titles to be, like, gay, sort of. I'm trying to come up with one off the top of my head, and I can't.
I can't think of too many.
Right.
On His Majesty's Secret Service.
I'm just trying to come up with weird gay pun James Bond kind of, you know, whatever. It's not worth it. What else have I seen? I saw a movie called Rampart with Woody Harrelson, which is either, again, in limited release now or coming out.
Are these all screeners? Have you seen
these? Yeah, these are all screeners. It was co-written by James Ellroy, which is, I guess, the most interesting thing about it. It's getting crazy good reviews. Woody Harrelson is good, obviously, and it's funny to watch sometimes to see him do something really dark like this and remember, like, you're Woody from Cheers.
Yeah. Like, I'm looking forward to him in the Hunger Games.
Oh, listen, this is going to be a Hunger Games cast, if ever there was one.
But he's played dark before.
Definitely. And, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I've seen this movie so many times. It's just he's an L.A. cop who's, like, corrupt, you know, and, like, whatever is takes money on the side and, you know, kills people when he shouldn't. And it's a much less like Hollywood glamorized Training Day.
King Kong has got shit on him. Is that the,
he's good. Everybody in it is good. You know, there's a ton of like recognizable actors taking really small parts, but like, I don't know. It didn't blow me away because I've seen it so many times. The only difference is it really feels like, and again, maybe because it was written by James Ellroy, like, it feels like it knows the ins and outs of, like, a police department more than most movies.
Right. It's more, like, than the other guys.
Exactly. It's just like, oh, this is somebody who knows something about this and isn't just, you know.
When a procedural is done well, and again, I'm not sure, I've not seen Rampart, but when a procedural is done really well, it's fascinating because it is like you do want to get, it's more about not the enhance of CSI, more about, like, the actual legwork that goes into it and how maybe it is just, you know, well, detective work, you know, as opposed to science.
And he's an interesting character because he's super sort of well-versed in the law. And so he's constantly being called in front of his superiors for, you know, questionable activity. But he's always able to sort of talk circles around them because he knows what he's talking about, which is interesting. But again, I didn't love the movie.
You're describing it in a way that actually makes me want to see it.
Yeah, like, well, I guess you should. I don't know.
Can we pause this and watch it?
Yeah, no problem. And lastly...
And we're back. That was great.
We disagree on this. I saw Martha Marcy May Marlene. I saw Hugo. I saw...
Bellflower,
which I've talked about on a previous show.
I should listen to the previous
shows. I really liked Martha Marcy May Marlene. I liked Hugo. I didn't love it and have decided, and this is not a controversial position at all, I went to see it in 3D because it was Martin Scorsese. And
he really knows how to, finally someone uses 3D.
Well, that's the thing. It's like
I read that so many times, by the way.
I know. And again, the movie that started this all was Avatar, and arguably James Cameron knew how to use 3D, right? It was like, that was always the movie that was being this is the best 3D since Avatar. It was always the one they were comparing it to. Which and yet crazy. Now all of a sudden it's like, finally, someone knows how to do it. A, it's been 2 years since Avatar. B, the movie that started this all was someone who knew how to do it. So what are we looking for? But as a curiosity, I did want to see it in 3D because it's like, okay, here's this, you know, new tool, sort of, and how is this guy who is, you know, one of, if not the best living American directors, going to use 3D?
Right.
And it's, I'm sure he did the best job that anyone has done with it, you know what I mean? But, like, it adds nothing. It is not worth it.
Right, which is...
I've seen it be as good as it can be, and it did not make the movie better in any way.
And that's the argument, I think, that Ebert would have, or that anyone who's kind of against 3D in principle. I think 3D is a novelty. You know, I'm not... that's not like I'm inventing that word or whatever, but it's like, it's definitely a novelty. It could be fantastical. I mean, Avatar, it seemed to make more sense because it's just like a nonsense foreign land.
Right,
Pandora,
right. Welcome. Right.
And if nothing else, it's like, wow, that's a spectacle. And that's like how it should be attached. But if it's just, if we're having 3D with everything now, I remember when I saw Coraline in 3D. And that's even more of like, okay, it's kind of the stop motion CGI. I don't know which one it is, if it's traditional.
I think it's kind of a mix of both, actually, yeah.
And it was like, that was interesting, but I'm still like, I get headaches and I get like annoyed with like the,
And Hugo was the worst because of where I was sitting. I was like low and on an angle and I had to take my glasses off a bunch of times because I was getting like a doubling effect and it was hurting my eyes. Coraline was interesting when I saw it in 3D because it was ahead of the whole 3D curve and it was like the first 3D movie I had seen that wasn't about like a paddle ball coming out of the camera. It was more about just weird depth
from
of field
Friday the 13th
stuff.
3 where the hatchet's coming right.
Or the snake or the eyeball.
Right.
Coraline
came out after Avatar though, right?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel maybe I saw it after Avatar. I don't know.
No, came out like early 2009.
Okay.
And Avatar was late 2009, obviously. So there were 3D movies, but it was the first one that sort of did more about like depth of field. And so at the time, I was like, "Oh, that's interesting." But again,
why are people coming in their pants for Hugo?
I don't know. Again, he does a good job with the 3D. I still cannot figure out what it adds at all. And then you know, JB just today wrote a column on these re-releases that are coming out in 3D and. They're post-converting everything, and like James Cameron went back and post-converted Titanic into 3D. And again, it's like, I'm interested in what that would look like because he's a guy who takes it seriously and obviously spent a lot of time on it. So what does that do? It can't make the movie better, but what does it look like? And based on the trailer, he went crazy with the post-converted 3D.
Yeah.
They're like hats, anything that can stick out at you is like sticking out. Every shot has eight different layers to it. It's just like, how much can I separate this for the 3D effect? That adds nothing.
Do you think that, you know, they obviously 3D, the Avatar and the 3D wave that's taken over.
Yeah.
Do you think it's here to stay? That's my first question.
I don't. Okay. I could be wrong.
I think it's here to stay in as much as you'll see maybe 10 movies a year that have 3D.
Yeah.
Or 10 bigger movies. But I think that 2D is still like whatever. But I remember when TVs, and they're still, I guess, available, although that wave seems to have really calmed down, like where people are having battery-powered or plug-in glasses to watch their flat-panel TVs with the 3D. And now they're even advancing that and saying you just need your regular movie theater glasses to watch 3D.
Right.
But I really think the next step is not necessarily 3D. I don't know if you call it like hologram or whatever. I mean, like literally like a Jetsons type thing where I think you'll see TVs getting big again, if only so that it kind of envelops four or five sides.
Right.
So that can kind of cross project images so it kind of looks like it's in the room with you.
Yeah.
And I think eventually that might go away and, you know, and maybe theaters will even have that too, where kind of like, even like some of the IMAX theaters screens are so big that they seem to wrap around you in a way.
Right.
And
OmniMax.
Yeah, I was going to say, OmniMax is like, no, OmniMax is different than IMAX.
Oh, it is?
Is that like, that's like a bunch of different cameras.
That's
and it's
where it wraps around you, right?
It really is. Like, you have to sit, like, you're laying on your back, basically, and you're watching a solar system documentary for 15 minutes.
I want to see Puss in Boots in OmniMax.
I think OmniMax, I guess it's just crazy expensive. It's like any time in history when there's been something like, you know, obviously the movies had to get bigger and wider because TVs came and, the, you know, they're doing all these different things to make, you know.
Right.
And it's got the next thing, but I mean, you get to a point where it's cost prohibitive. You can't do it.
Right. Well, like, you know, in the 60s, like a movie like, How the West Was Won was projected on three screens simultaneously,
right,
just to make it as crazy wide as possible. And it wrapped all the way around you.
And to a much lesser extent, even 70 millimeter, which is, what's the last 70 millimeter movie?
I don't really know.
Wasn't
Although
it?
Some of the IMAX stuff is now being shot in 70 millimeter.
Really?
Because, like, Mission Impossible 4, because I refuse to call it Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol.
Why?
Comes up because it's one of the worst titles since Skyfall.
Ghost.
Which I'm excited to see, because A, I think it has a kick-ass trailer, and B, it's directed by Brad Bird. It comes out in a couple weeks, and before they show that, it comes out, like, a week early in IMAX only, and then a week later, it's on regular screens. So
okay,
if you want to see it ahead of time, you got to see it in IMAX. And they're showing like the first 10 minutes of The Dark Knight Rises. But now even that has like a caveat, which is only on true 70 millimeter IMAX prints of Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. And I know there's a lot of fake IMAX going around when that boom kind of happened. I don't know if the theater that we frequent where there's IMAX.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a true 70 millimeter IMAX screen. I don't know. So I don't know if I'll even be able to see the first 10 minutes of The Dark Knight Rises.
And isn't, you know, 70 millimeter, it's obviously very expensive film stock and extensive. And I think the last, I remember hearing, what's the movie I'm thinking of that was supposed, like the...
Far and Away.
Far and Away.
Yeah.
I always want to say Legends of the Fall, but it's not that. It's Far and Away.
Great movie.
Yeah, right.
Both of them.
Oh, we just cracked ourselves up.
That's what we're here for.
I got to think that all that stuff is going away in favor of like how advanced the RED cameras are getting and how even digital projection, the DLP. I'll be honest. Like when I see a DLP,
you know what DLP stands for? Doug Loves Patrick.
There you go. That's the name of this pod. Name this podcast. That's. It's so much crisper and like it's. I know that there's a whole. Hang on, this goes back to Ebert, because I am on Ebert's side with the 3D thing, but he's definitely like a film purist. But I remember like when, with music too, people are like, I got to record my rock and roll on reel to reel.
Right.
And it's like, it's got a sound, I got to play it on vinyl. And it's like, no, a CD, you know, Pro Tools and all that stuff is just as good. You're not aware of it. I know there's an argument to be made if they're really like psychological tests where people have a different reaction to the types of light reflecting off a screen from film or whatnot. But I tell you, if I go see a DLP... A Doug Loves Patrick production. That's this actually the name. Yeah, that's a DLP production. Is the if I go see one, I am blown away by just the crispness of it. It is like it is so sharp and so like high def almost compared to film. And maybe I don't know.
I'm kind
of
a
minority.
I'm kind of a hypocrite sometimes because you know if I go to see a new release, like when I went to see Super 8. I didn't mind that it was being digitally projected. It looked really good. But, like, sometimes when I go see, like, a repertory show or, like, some of these horror festivals that we go to...
Oh, sure.
I want it to be a film print,
well,
you know?
Because that's... I think that that's not hypocritical. I think that that's what the movie was made in.
Right.
Like, that is... If you want...
Because if they're just showing a DVD, it's like, well, I can watch this at home.
Well, you're going this weekend. You're going to see...
Possibly.
There's a marathon in Chicago
showing Hatchet 1 and 2 and Friday the 13th Part 7.
And it's, if you watch it, especially an old movie, like you always, I know the Music Box Massacre is always prides themselves on their prints.
Yeah.
Say, we've got a
never even though a lot of times they're kind of terrible. But.
Right, but even that is like, this is a print from the original whatever, you know? And it is like, there's a shared experience, a history to that, a warmness to it, if you will. And, but I think that anything now, like, I got to think that there's so much digital chicanery in Super 8, and I don't even mind it. You know, J.J. Abrams is obviously mocked or made fun of for his lens flares and all that stuff. I like it. I think, you know, it's obviously his technique. It's his style. You could tell it from right away, and it's hard to do that if you're, you know, just a schlocky director. You don't have everything looks the same, you know? So, but, I mean, so watching that on DLP, I don't see any harm in that.
Right. Do you think Super 8 should have been 3D? Just kidding. It should not have been. And I applaud a movie that... So I do think 3D will kind of eventually be more of a novelty. I definitely think, like, people thought it was the future.
I think you'll find it maybe with more... You know, they're re-releasing all these Disney movies.
Right.
I think you'll see Pixar embrace it. I think you'll see cartoons embrace it.
Yeah.
I think you'll see family, like a Hugo or Tintin, maybe embrace it.
And see, like,
but you won't see a movie. You won't see, like, if there's a, I'm trying to think of a Descendants. Why would the Descendants ever?
Right.
And I think that's 80% of movies.
But again, well, and I have to applaud Super 8 because that's a movie that I'm sure a studio said, like, we want to put this out in 3D. And J.J. Abrams kind of said, like, no. Same with Cowboys and Aliens. I didn't like that movie, but Jon Favreau was very adamant about, like, no, no 3D.
Well, there was a thing too with Transformers. People, you know, people have said, and I know we've talked about this before and written about this, that Transformers 3, Revenge of the Fallen.
No, Dark of the Moon.
Transformers 3, Revenge of the Moon. Dark of the Moon was one of the better, that's the thing that's like saying it's the best piece of shit. And part of it, I remember you saw it in 3D.
I did.
And it was kind of like, wow, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And it's funny because that movie, if you really, you know, talk about box office grosses in terms of, that's obviously the marker that people measure movies by. That's the standard. Like, it's made this, like, Breaking Fucking Dawn has made X amount, so it's a success, and God help us all. and other movies, like, they make $10 million or $15 million, they're failures. And you think that, like, well, what is $10 or $15 million when a ticket costs $10, and an IMAX ticket costs 15 and IMAX 3D is $20 or $25. So that Transformers actually did way worse business, even though it was critically, I mean, this is all nominal, obviously, but critically better than the first two movies, but it was less successful, even though it probably made as much money.
Right.
Because it had less receipts.
Right.
Which is insane to me. And I still don't know. I understand you don't want to compare a movie made today with a movie like Gone with the Wind, where no one had TVs. Everyone went to the theater. It was a given. So it's unfair maybe to say that. But is it really? Because the population was a third of what it is now.
Right.
And, you know, no one's going to see movies. Everyone's streaming stuff. I know people that illegally do it. And I try, you know, I don't want to sound like a preachy asshole, but I'm like, please, you know, you probably should not do that and watch it on your laptop. That's horrible. Or your iPhone.
It's just amazing that people are willing to watch an entire movie in that way. It's like, why even bother? If you want to see this movie, which I assume is why you've gone to the trouble of downloading it illegally, you're going to watch it on your phone
and
feel like you've seen it? You know?
I've done it on the computer. Sorry. I've done this on the computer twice where a Netflix, I will watch it on my laptop. And my laptop, it's 17 inches. It's, exactly, I feel like if it's a decent, but it's not nowhere I prefer it. It's like, I can't move.
Right.
I'm like, I get stiff after a while. Like it doesn't.
Right. It'd be good on like an airplane. I mean, there's a lot of people who pretty much watch movies almost entirely on their laptops and that's fine, whatever. But you know, that's obviously not the way I want to do it.
No, and again, I know that, like, and if you're listening, you're probably similar to us and you like movies, obviously, and you probably are of the same. But of course, we're talking about our nieces and nephews going that are, you know, 13, 14 that don't. One of my nephew, who is 13, saw Jack and Jill, and I was like, oh. And he's like, it was funny. And I'm like, fuck you. You know, like, I don't even know if you're related to me. First of all, my sister might be adopted. And secondly, you don't look anything like anyone. And you're drooling. You stupid kids.
I do take some heart in the knowledge that that movie hasn't grossed as much as a typical Adam Sandler movie.
Right.
Like, it's around 55 to 60 million right now, which is a crime, by the way, that like that movie has made that much money. But his movies typically gross, you know, $150 million.
Right.
So.
Right.
Maybe there's hope, although not really. I mean, he bounced back from Little Nicky, so, which is a vastly superior movie to Jack and Jill.
You saw Jack and Jill for work.
Yeah.
For like, it was work, and you saw it for work. So.
And it's one of the worst movies I've seen all year.
Yeah, no, I can't even imagine. In a weird way, I'm curious about it. Like, I am, and it's so, like, bad. I might, like...
And that curiosity would last you for 5 minutes.
And that's why I'll see it on HBO for 5 minutes and, like, whatever.
It's like when we decided to watch Caligula that one time, and it was like...
Yeah, only that one time I watched it. Only a couple of those scenes
It was that same, it's like that let's go to Hooters mentality. Like, this will be funny to watch, and then 10 minutes in, when they're, like, buttering up their fist, we're like, nah, there's probably something else on.
Right, absolutely.
Let's watch... Can't Hardly Wait Again.
I was searching for stuff on HBO or Epix or Stars or something to watch while my wife was sleeping, and I came across, Just Go With It.
Yes.
By the way, it's funny that in that movie...
Another Hawaii movie, by the way.
They say Just Go With It at least 5 or 6 times.
Well, sure.
Because you gotta, like, you know, you're dead mall rat. I stuck through, I think, most of it in bits and pieces. I was in and out.
Yeah.
It was, first of all, okay... I'm a pervert. I'm a guy, and I'm so not a misogynist. I'm all talk, ladies. I'm a sensitive, delicate flower. I'm a sweetheart. But goddamn, Brooklyn Decker.
I made this point talking about a little bit Jack and Jill on the Mist podcast, not to cut you off, but like, because I was comparing the two movies in my head, and I was like, I would watch Just Go With It 10 more times before I would ever watch Jack and Jill.
That's
again.
Why I remember you saying
because
that.
Just Go With It has Brooklyn Denner, Brooklyn Decker in a swimsuit, and right. Jack and Jill has Adam Sandler in fucking drag, you know?
Right, it's an ugly movie. It's right. a bug movie. and again, Brooklyn Decker, but part of it too, and not, this might sound like I'm backpedaling, but I'm so not, Brooklyn Decker is also like, adorable. Like,
she is
cute and sweet and has a good personality.
Yeah.
Even Jennifer Aniston, who gets in a bikini, looks fantastic.
Right.
But her character, while not a bad character, I just, you know, she kind of rubs me the wrong way sometimes. So even that is, like, not enough maybe to get me to watch it again.
She tends to bother me in almost every movie, but she was my favorite thing about Just Go With It. For whatever reason.
More favorite than Brooklyn Decker?
Well,
walking out of the ocean.
In terms of, like, a performance, because Jennifer Aniston, like, seemed to try, and almost no one else did. I mean, Brooklyn Decker, I think, tried, but, like, well, to the best of her abilities.
Yeah, she's not an actress, and
great
she did a
fine
job.
For a swimsuit model, you know?
Right. What about Nick Swardson? Did you think he tried as a Gunther or whatever?
He just keeps being handed work by...
I don't understand.
And he can be funny. I mean, if you watched Reno 911, and he was on roller skates, he was hilarious on that show.
Right.
But, yikes. And he was in Bucky Larson, another of the year's worst movies.
So Just Go With It, like, is definitely a movie, like, it is so easy to watch in that it is Hawaii. It is this idyllic. It's and it's got attractive women. And again, that's just, it's like, oh, well, this scene will end soon. And then Brooklyn Decker will be back on screen. So, you know, whatever. I'm the worst. Sorry,
what
ladies.
Have you seen lately?
I saw Just Go With It. I saw The Expendables. Else?
Oh, you finally watched it?
Yeah.
Was it totally worth the over 1 year wait?
Listen, I always look, and I say this before, like, I go to see movies not nearly as much as you do, but I try maybe 2 or 3 times a month to go see a movie.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm very successful and I see things a lot. And my wife and I go to, you know, like a Sunday show and we're happy. And sometimes it's like, oh, I just don't feel like going out. So we have a lot in our DVR and whatever else. And right now it sucks because I don't know what the lag is in terms of stuff being released in the theater and then on DVD and then eventually on HBO or all these movie channels. But like, it's stuff like Due Date and The Green Hornet and shit, like,
so you're getting like the January, February movies now,
yeah, right, and that's like,
which is garbage time.
And it's,
you know?
I record them because I'm like, I didn't see that when it came out. Right. Thank you very much. And now I should probably maybe watch it.
Right.
But it's like, no, but if nothing else, that I just know in the back of my head, they're easy to watch, and
sure.
I can, you know. But I saw The Expendables because I remember I saw The Losers, The A-Team.
Well, you got to complete the trifecta.
I was like, I should see The Expendables, and I'm just like, oh, I don't know. And then you actually told me that it's probably better than The Losers. And it is.
Yeah.
But it's still just like a complete...
It's not very good.
If nothing else, what's his name? I'm sorry. Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
What is wrong with his face?
Yeah.
I don't understand. And I know he's like... listen, I know that Sylvester Stallone is an older man. He's a shorter man. He has... there's no way in hell he has not done steroids, a lot of them. I mean, because you can't get that. I could work out literally like 8 hours a day every day. And I'm a slight guy, and I will not get muscles like the veins that are rippling. It's uncanny. I mean, it's beautiful, is what I'm saying. But then he's got this thing now where he's got Botox and his eyebrows waxed.
Yeah,
it is crazy.
Yeah, it's definitely.
It's so distracting, and he's like supposed to be this like again the lead and like the romantic and whatever. It's just
and again that movie, and we did a whole podcast on it over a year ago, so I won't rehash all that. But like, it's so awesome on paper. And the execution is so disappointing. It's just like the script is bad. He doesn't shoot action well at all, which is like, this is an action movie. We should know where we are, and this should not be edited like shit. And so I'm sort of,
it's lazy direction because it's like punch, cut, flip, cut. There's no, and it almost like you remember. I remember Doug. I don't know if we've talked about this before. Doug Liman, that's his name, right?
Yeah,
the director in Bourne Identity.
Yeah.
He is a director. I think before that he had directed Go and Swingers.
Yeah.
And then he directs Bourne Identity, and it's an action movie. And it was like, oh, how is he going to do this? And the action sequences in those are like longer takes.
Right.
And they're quick, they're choreographed, and they're fascinating. Like a car crashes, and it's not an explosion and a flip. It's like...
Right. A car crashes into another car.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, oh, it's like unsettling.
Right.
And it's it's amazing. And I think that sometimes those directors that aren't like just so in love or, you know, like obviously Sylvester Stallone can direct, you know, he can.
Yeah. But it seems like he's compensating, like he's covering up his inability by like cutting really fast or not filming things in long takes or the close-ups are too close or whatever. Like, and it's interesting that you bring up Bourne Identity because I think, you know, Paul Greengrass is a good director, but I really think it was him directing Bourne Supremacy that invented, like, this shaky cam, quick cutting, not like the Michael Bay quick cutting, but like everything's kind of handheld and like disorienting.
Chaos, right.
Yeah, and I think so many, that became the aesthetic for action movies for like the next 10 years.
Whereas when he does it, it's a choice, and where other people do it because it's easier, it's just, it comes across as lazy.
Yeah.
Like, I can get a camera in your face and, you know.
So I'm kind of happy to see that Stallone is not directing The Expendables 2.
Yeah.
But that there will be an Expendables 2. Whoa, maybe it'll get stuff right. Crazy. I don't know. Van Damme is in it. Chuck Norris.
Isn't it weird that I really do love Jason Statham, too? Like, he's...
Because he's awesome.
Yeah, he's pretty great. I mean, all those other guys, I could take or leave. Even Bruce Willis at this point. I still love Bruce Willis. Die Hard's the best. And Moonlighting is great. But, like, you know...
Because he's constantly just phoning it in. And, like, it's visibly so lazy. Bored. Yeah.
And the other ones, I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger is also a cartoon character. Like, Botox and spray tan and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care about Dolph Lundgren. I don't care about Jet Li, really. No. It's like, they're not, whatever.
Again, in the right movie, Jet Li is a ton of fun. I don't think he's in that movie.
No, he's not.
Randy Couture, I think you're thinking
of. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Who turns in a great performance. Dolph Lundgren, by the way, if you want to be fascinated by a human being, read about Dolph Lundgren. That guy has like a doctorate and
really,
oh my gosh, he's a fascinating guy.
He's like a genius.
He has all these different skills and he makes these really cheap movies in foreign countries that are hugely successful. And like,
so he's a billionaire probably.
He's a fascinating guy.
How do I read about this? Wikipedia?
I assume DolphLundgren.org. Have you seen anything besides The Expendables?
I've honestly seen a lot of Community. I'm trying to catch up. By the way,
you're just in time.
Right, for the hiatus. Oh my God, I'm so disappointed. But I got to think that, like, okay, a couple things. One is that I totally missed the boat on Community.
Yeah.
Because it came out, and people right away, people like you, right away were like, this show is something special. This show is good. And I was like, you know, I've got too much. I've got enough Top Chefs and Top Chef All-Stars and Top Chef Just Desserts and Top Chef Top Masters, just the Master Chefs. I've got a lot of Top Chef shows on my slate. And I'm like, I don't have time for Community. The Office is already so good. But so I got the seasons. I'm trying to catch up. And it really is easy to catch up. You can watch 5 episodes in one night and just want to watch more. The show is great. The show is really funny. I love it. And
especially honestly, if you're a movie fan. Again, not to like just tie it in shamelessly to movies, but like if you love movies,
no, absolutely.
Community is a show that like is so well-versed in...
Well, if nothing, that's just my point, is just to say I've not really seen too many movies because, well, it's Thanksgiving weirdness too, and also just because
Breaking
I'm watching
Dawn.
Breaking Dawn a lot.
Yeah.
But no, that's what I've been watching Community a lot of too, so... no, I haven't really seen too many movies.
That's okay. The Expendables, I mean, that takes care of everything.
Shit, man, I am
such a disappointment.
Well,
this is usually like the run.
Listen, ladies, I'm sorry. Also, I have like a little tickle in my throat.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But hopefully it makes
that
my voice.
That little tickle is me. What?
My voice sound sexy.
It does. You down decked.
I love you.
This mommy. Is like the run up, though.
Is it cool that I call you mommy?
To your busy season, though, because like you're trying to cram in for like your top 10 list.
And that's what
and
I do.
Oscars,
I'm such an asshole,
like,
but I'm
so
the guy.
It's 3 movies every Sunday now.
Oh, like, it's going to be. There was one year where I went to the, I think AMC, this is back, I think the last year they did 5 Best Picture winners.
Yeah.
And
which AMC, was just 2 years ago.
Yeah. And AMC did all 5 in a day. And I'd only seen one that year, which is crazy. I think I saw Juno, but I did. I missed There Will Be Blood, No Country.
Oh, this was like 4 years ago. Then.
Really?
This was 2007, yeah.
You're right. I think then subsequent years I'd seen most of them, so I didn't go to the AMC thing. This was just an AMC. Whatever. Atonement. It was a long day.
There Will Be Blood. No Country for Old Men.
Yeah, and what was
Atonement.
And Michael Clayton. There you go.
Oh, Michael Clayton's an awesome movie.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Love that movie.
But I this is what I do. I cram. I go kind of apeshit, and I cram, and I kind of drive everyone around me crazy because I'm like, I got to see this movie. And it's like, even like in January and February when it's like there. I remember watching last year or earlier this year because it was January of 2011. The Town, because I was convinced it was going to get an Oscar nod. So I'm like, I got to get all these movies
in.
You know, I think I bought it on pay-per-view or something, which is the good, you know, it's obviously beneficial to have that option, but I prefer to see stuff in theater. And that's what I punish myself for being lazy in the fall and then in the early winter.
And this year is going to be so weird because I don't think there are any clear cut, like,
no, and there's not a top
prestige
10
movies or like, there's not much that's coming out, with the exception of, like, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, that I could say, like, yeah, that's probably going to be
right.
maybe a Best Picture nominee or something. Like, I think when the nominees come out, they're going to be weird.
I think you're right, especially because the Oscars. I
think, like, The Help is going to be nominated. I think it's going to be a weird year.
Because, Water for Elephants is going to be up there.
Because there just haven't been that. There haven't yeah. been that many.
It's crazy, though, because surefire. I don't know. And I know there's... I know why the Academy Awards went to 10 movies. I know. But I don't know.
Like, and they already backpedaled now. Now it's like...
As many as we want.
We could do up to 10, but we don't have to do 10.
Because I think they realized when they saw the slate or the docket for right. the next year, it's like, well, there's shit coming out.
Right.
Because we talked about this before. Can you even make... Even with your predictions of the movies, like, let's say you love Tintin.
Right.
Let's say you love Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Right.
Could you even make a top 10 list?
I don't think I could right now.
I mean, that's crazy.
And again,
mine would be Black Swan. 10 spots of Black Swan.
And again,
JB is wrong for not liking that movie. He is plumb wrong.
It comes down to, like, do I just start including things? Do I put The Descendants on there? Because, like, oh, I liked it, and
right.
I only have 6. Somebody posted on our Facebook page, like, why do that? Why not just then put out a list of 5? And that is a totally valid point.
Yeah.
Like, but that is less interesting to me than even a list of, like, 10 that I'm not fucking in love with. But
well, because,
like,
then it's like, you gotta really...
This is still literally my 10 favorite movies of the year.
Right.
And even if number 9
it's the doldrums,
it's
horrible.
Jack
right.
and Jill, it's like, but that was still better than everything
right.
else I saw.
So number 9 is Jack and Jill, is what you're telling
it's
me?
It's number 8 and 9, because
Jesus.
Adam Sandler plays 2 parts.
And Jill. Well, that's, you know... A lot of people play 2 parts.
45 minutes in, though, let's talk about this contest that we have coming up.
Oh, yeah, F This Contest.
It's a first for F This Movie, because we're now starting our run-up to show 100.
Right.
Which was sort of the reason that we did this show, because even though my computer's broken, it's like, well, listen, we can skip a week.
Right.
But we never have, and I felt like, well, we can't let people down now.
Did you hear that, audience?
There are people that depend on us.
For real, I don't know, you probably don't think much of F This Movie
yeah.
in your private lives.
Or me.
Or Patrick.
Yeah.
I know I don't.
No.
But here's the thing, we're so devoted. We, Patrick, not me. I could give
you
a crap.
Buy your computer, that's devotion.
He has not
you
missed
a
week
that's
for
devotion.
Over a year and a half.
Yeah.
Of podcasts, of yeah. consistent podcastery.
Yeah, I'm a master of podcast.
And this F This Contest is
yes.
not just, you know, in October, obviously, we had the F This Movie, F Scary Movie Challenge.
Right.
And that was kind of a contest in finger quotes.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, the 7-word reviews, but there was no end game. There was no
right.
prize.
No. It was more just a sense of accomplishment. But for this, we were thinking, for the celebration leading up to the 100th show, and it's going to be a series of shows with everybody... in the rotation, sort of talking about, I think their favorite movies is what we
right.
what we decided on. By the way, real quick, 47 minutes into the show, and I forgot to say congratulations to F This Movie's own Mike, who just welcomed a second daughter into the world. Her name is Neytiri. So I don't know where he got that.
Well, that's a good point. Hopefully you can cut and paste this part into the... Hey, welcome to F This Movie. Before we start...
Babies!
Mike, F This Movie...
Good job.
Member.
Yes.
Contributor.
Yeah.
Cast.
Co-host.
Cast
member. Co-host. Co-host.
Had, he and his wife had a lovely daughter, Neytiri.
Yes.
And I see you. Is the first thing he said to her. Which is kind of weird.
So we're doing this contest.
She came out all blue. The doctor said to run. That's a horrible joke. I shouldn't.
We're doing this contest, and what we were thinking is you, the listeners, could go back and listen to our previous 90 shows and pick what is your favorite moment
in
F This Movie history.
Just to clarify, you don't have to go back and listen to 90 shows.
I
should
you, do.
We would welcome it.
Yeah.
We would love that. But if you remember something from
good
a specific
yeah.
show, that you're like, you know, I really love that time where JB ripped Doug a new a-hole because Doug loved Black Swan. And JB was like, are
did
you
that happen
fucking
on the podcast?
Kidding me? Well, not literally. No, no, not at all. But I remember that was the best of show last year. I kind of came out and he was like, I hate that movie. And then
yeah.
he wrote a subsequent shitting on Black Swan, otherwise
yes.
known as a classic. And I was like, John, you're wrong. Black Swan is great. It's the best.
I like that you guys argue in your respective columns.
Yeah, right?
Well, he called me out today, too. So you talked about trailers. We're like, what the fuck?
That's my job.
Exactly. So you don't have to go back and listen, although you should, and we encourage it, and it's good. They hold up. I listened to Avatar recently. That was one of our first shows.
Yeah, that was show number one.
It's a little over the place because we don't have a format or structure. Kind of like this show. So it's a little return to
form. We've come full circle.
But it's good, so you should go back. But if you remember something like the time Patrick's water broke on the podcast.
Oh, was I embarrassed?
I know. The time where Mike, his balls dropped and his voice went from a soprano to a bass. That's your favorite moment. I mean, tell us and tell us why.
Yes. So write in to fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com your favorite moment in the history of F This Movie and an explanation why, like Doug just said. If you're super ambitious and you know a way to, like, record an audio file and you want to email in, like, an MP3, assuming it's not too big and you can email the attachment, maybe we can figure out a way to play it on the show.
Absolutely.
If it's good. No, I'm not going to play any garbage.
You don't have to email it. You can establish – this is nerd talk. Like, you send it. You can establish an account and create a file and have a download. We could download your MP3.
However you want to be creative.
But let's be honest. It shouldn't be that long. I know some of you out there are really ambitious. We appreciate that.
Definitely.
We can't. It's an hour show, and you see how much we love to hear our own voices. So,
if you just want to write something and send it in, we will be reading them.
Cut to the quick, though. What's the point of all this?
Well, I just have to say, like, we're going to read a lot of these responses.
Right.
On the show.
No.
During our, our favorite movies shows leading up to show 100. And then what we'll do is we're going to pick some of our favorites, and then I think possibly just, like, throw them in a hat and at random pull names. So, like,
this
you gotta
is hilarious,
be great,
by the way.
But you also have to be lucky.
I'm pulling back the curtain.
Yeah.
This is the first time this has been talked about. It's all, like, professional.
We're figuring
it
out. So we're gonna pick some at random of our favorites. And you will win movies from our personal collections.
That's right. If you want us to sign them, we could even do that.
I would be willing to do that.
I would absolutely be willing to do that.
I could deface the movie. Or you could just... And listen, some of them are going to be garbage.
They're absolutely mostly garbage.
Doug might have a Harvard man that he's willing to
listen,
part with.
I think my Harvard man was like a stamped... It was like a promotional stamp, like, do not sell this version that you had, and you gave it to me. And guess what, F-heads? I'm giving it to you. So this F-this contest, you're going to win stuff from our collection.
Right.
Yeah, it's a mixture of garbage movies.
Right.
Like, maybe there's what else could be in there, possibly?
Oh, I'm trying to think of what's in the back, right? I mean, maybe there's a Blu-ray of Sorority Row in the mix for you. But
that
like
means you gotta buy a Blu-ray player.
JB, is great about like upgrading his stuff from DVD to Blu-ray. So he's got really good stuff that he may have upgraded, and you could be the beneficiary of that DVD.
Unless we, of course, want it before you get a
good
chance
point.
To win it.
Good.
But here's
point.
The thing: to your point, it's also not just garbage movies, but movies possibly like I recently got a better version of Seven.
Nice.
So I've got my snap case, my
your
my
flipper disc,
my cardboard case of the old Seven that was a flip disc that you might win. And who doesn't love David Fincher's Seven when you have to get up halfway through and turn the
laser
thing over
disc
like
style.
A fucking laser disc.
So listen, write something about F This Movie. It's fun. Hear your shit read on the show. Even more fun. Get free DVDs. Everyone wins, I think, with this contest.
We might even take a picture of ourselves holding the DVD.
I kind
of
like this idea.
And then send you that picture.
I kind of like it.
And then maybe we'll post that picture online, too.
Yeah,
like, the winner gets this, we'll hold it up.
And we'll say, we'll say who wins what. And
oh,
that.
I like this.
I do, too.
Let's go. Where else should we go?
I don't know.
Come
to your house.
Patrick's wife is really pretty. You could win a date with her.
Okay.
I don't care if she's pregnant.
We're devoted to this podcast. I feel like she is, too.
Did I just spill the beans on your wife's pregnancy on F This
Morning? Oh, that's all right. I believe you did.
Shit.
Yeah, but it's okay.
If you want to send in a congratulatory birth announcement in May, audience, by all means.
We're not having a shower, per se, but like we could always use diapers or whatever.
Right. If you want to shower us with praise, well, me specifically, I had nothing, at least as far as Patrick knows, to do with this baby. You could still send us.
So that's our contest. Get started on that right away. And like I said, we'll be reading your responses over the course of the next 10 shows.
What do you like? Do you like this?
Show 100.
F This Contest, : win stuff from our collection.
: Curse of the Black Pearl.
: 2012. Curse of the Black
Because this probably will take place in 2012. Won't
I think
it?
So.
Our 100th show won't
slash
until
Skyfall.
2012. And my favorite line from 2012, of course. No more pull-ups?
No more pull-ups.
No more pull-ups.
Because when the earth almost ends...
Everyone's dead, but I don't pee my pants anymore.
I still shit my pants, but I don't pee my pants. So that's F this contest. And in the last 7 minutes of the show, what do you want to talk
about? Now it's six, but we're probably going to go a little bit over because, again, we didn't have really a structure and we spent 45 minutes talking about 3D and, you know...
But let's be honest. There's a couple people out... Okay, a couple people out there might hate this and you might write angry emails and say... That Doug guy's an asshole. Don't have him on the show anymore.
Yeah.
And it's mostly from my wife.
Yes.
And I couldn't agree with you more.
We wanted to play a game.
Some of you might like this, though. You might like hearing us talk about it.
Because some
nonsense.
Movie podcasts play games. If you listen to Doug Love's movies, they do the great Leonard Maltin game. There's some other podcasts that play games. So we were trying to think of a game to play. We didn't come up with anything really original, but we came up with this idea of like movie F, Marry, Kill.
Okay.
So I'm going to propose something to Doug right now. And again, this isn't like a physical thing. This is like this person's career, not necessarily like this individual.
I don't like that. I want to actually have sex with some of these people.
We'll play that in just a minute. But like if I throw three directors out to you.
Three directors.
Think again in terms of their bodies of work, not their physical bodies and ball sacks.
Let me time out right there. Should we not call it
time
F, Marry,
Kill
and call it like Hire, Fire,
no,
Murder?
I'm sticking with F, Marry, Kill.
Murder, Death, Kill. Which one gets the murder, which one gets the death, and which one gets the kill?
Enhance your calm. So here we go. Ready? Joel Schumacher, Brett Ratner, Baz Luhrmann. F, Marry, Kill.
That's crazy. I got to marry Baz Luhrmann.
Okay.
Because he would spin yarns until we're old and gray.
But again, think about the movies that they have made, you know.
Oh, like, I'm not actually marrying him.
It's not,
I don't understand.
It's not the person. No, it's like, whose body of work, like, do I love enough to marry? Whose body of work do I love enough to, like, fuck for one night? Whose body of work do I want to kill?
I got to kill Joel Schumacher.
All right.
I got to fuck Brett Ratner.
All right.
Because I know he's also really clean. Again, I'm missing the point of your game. No, his movies are enough. They're like candy, you know. Rush Hour 2 is great.
Right.
And Baz Luhrmann,
Is there a Baz Luhrmann movie you like?
Not,
Strictly Ballroom?
I honestly don't mind.
Which is also how you refer to your boxers.
Right? Strictly Ballroom. I don't mind Moulin Rouge. My sister, by the way, loves that movie. And my nieces and nephews love it because of her. And it was on a lot in rotation in the summer.
Weird.
At my parents' house. It's very weird. And you're inside the mind of a crazy person. Same with Romeo and Juliet. It's like, I've never seen Australia, but I might want to marry him so I can see it. Marry Baz Luhrmann.
All right, now you go.
Okay, I got to give you three directors.
Yes.
Okay, Paul Thomas Anderson.
Okay.
Quentin Tarantino.
Okay.
And what's the guy that directed Blow Up?
Brian De Palma.
Brian De Palma, thank
Whoa.
You.
Whoa.
For the record, those are probably Patrick's three favorite directors.
They're up there, yeah.
Who else would you put up there?
Joe Dante would be in
there.
Oh, and of course, Orson Welles.
But I went a different direction. I can go a dirty direction if you want. Or not a dirty, but just a shit direction.
I mean, it's probably more interesting to hear me like have to make choices on directors I like, right?
I think so, yeah.
That's fucking hard, man.
Because I argue, and we've talked about this before, that Quentin Tarantino has not made a bad picture.
Yeah, but either has Paul Thomas Anderson. And De Palma has, and as much as I love a handful of Brian De Palma movies, including Blowout and Phantom of the Paradise, two of my favorite movies ever made.
You're saying Snake Eyes is murder worthy.
I'm saying the Black Dahlia, the 1-2 punch. Femme Fatale, I mean, for that alone, I should marry Brian De Palma.
Yeah,
but
right?
Like,
because you don't know what strange he might bring back to the bed with you guys.
But he did make Mission to Mars. And so I'd probably have to kill De Palma, even though it hurts me. It hurts me. Gosh. And then it's a question of like...
Exactly. You gotta make a choice.
Yeah.
Pretend I'm talking about Moose versus Joe from Facts of Life. This is the kind of decision, the tough decisions that Patrick has to make. He's in love with both of those women. Moose from You Can't Do That on Television.
That would be
Joe.
Easy. I would marry Joe from the Facts of Life.
Well, that's you're gonna marry her over your own wife, let's be honest.
I guess I'd have to marry Tarantino and F. Paul Thomas Anderson. And only because Tarantino's movies, I think, are slightly more rewatchable because they're so super entertaining. Not that Paul Thomas Anderson movies aren't, but like Boogie Nights obviously is so super entertaining. Magnolia is a little harder to get through. There Will Be Blood, obviously a lot harder to get through. All really good movies, but like, I think Tarantino's would be more fun over and over again.
Okay.
So I guess I would have to marry Tarantino.
I might have another one for you.
All right,
I'm going to go a different direction altogether, because you did like kind of crappy directors.
Yeah.
Not even crappy, because you didn't include Michael Bay, which was...
I kind of went just like with directors that no one should have an opinion on.
Right. Well, I'm kind of going to do the same thing a little bit.
I like it.
I'm going to go Robert Zemeckis.
Okay.
Joe Johnston.
Okay.
And I got to think of a third one. Richard Donner.
Oh, okay, that's...
Or is he's a director, right?
He's a director, yeah. I would marry Robert Zemeckis. I would...
Well, you got it, because the guy made...
What Lies Beneath. Death Becomes Her.
Polar Express. He made
Beowulf 3D.
Favorite movie.
Back to the Future 2.
Back to the Future 3.
So I would marry Zemeckis. I'd probably F Richard Donner, even though he's made a lot of movies I really don't like. He did make the original Superman. He did make Lethal Weapon 1 and 2. I mean, he made 3 and 4 also, but let's not hold that against him.
2 is great, yeah.
And I'd have to kill Joe Johnston, even though, you know, again, I've liked a handful of his movies.
Interesting.
I like The Rocketeer.
I
like Captain America. I don't even hate Jurassic Park 3. I don't.
Do you like it more than The Lost World?
Yes.
Oh.
I don't like The Lost World at all.
I don't know if I've seen it.
It's not good.
I'm pretending like I have an opinion.
I think it's my least favorite Spielberg movie, although Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull was on, like, USA the other night.
Makes sense.
And I turned it on right at the sequence where, like, Shia LaBeouf is straddling two motorcycles in front of a green screen, and there's monkeys and vines and stuff.
No, this is a
horrible movie. My 2-year-old son completely... involved in it. Could not stop watching it.
Really?
Yep. Watched it all the way to the end. Which, by the way, totally irresponsible on my part. Like, people are getting eaten by fire ants, and Cate Blanchett gets the alien eyes and whatever, but like, it would go to commercial, and he would turn to me and say, "It will be back," and then it would come back, and he was glued to Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and I was like, "Oh, my son, I love you. I want to erase this movie. Someday when you're older, I'll show you the first three."
Your son has the shittiest taste
in movies. He truly does. Because I so want to show him the first three and say, like, these are good. Well, at least, you know, sort of.
Raiders.
But they're way too scary, you know? Like, every one of those has something that's way too scary for him.
I think Temple of Doom actually is not that great.
It's not. Either is Last Crusade, by the way. But, like...
I don't even have an opinion on that. But Raiders of the Lost Ark is perfect.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Temple of the Doom... Temple of the Doom.
Yeah.
The is just Temple trying to recapture that, you know?
Yeah, it's
I'm obnoxious. Also offended that they renamed Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes.
Indiana Jones and the Raiders. It's like, no, assholes.
Then there was one other game that we wanted to play, right?
Real quick.
Oh, yeah.
I want to say another movie I saw, and only actually saw, like, about half of it. I was... Before I went to a party on Saturday.
Valentine's Day?
No, I saw...
New Year's Eve?
Spike was having a marathon of Star Wars, and I saw Empire, and good gracious...
By the
gracious,
way, they're always having a marathon of Star Wars.
I know,
Wars.
Which is good, but except every 8 minutes is a commercial, which is crazy. Yeah. But man, I haven't seen Empire in a long time.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of the shittier stuff more recently, and it's kind of tainted. And of course, we're all cynical 20-something, 30-something assholes out there that like, oh, I'm better than Star Wars. Empire... is unfucking believable.
Yeah, it's awesome.
There's a couple scenes where I'm just like, I cannot believe this is the same like arc,
right.
The same mythology as the other things. It is so great. And again, I'm not really blowing your hair back with the statement, but
George Lucas didn't write or direct it.
Right, David Lynch directed it.
He did. And it's funny, as a kid, and I'm sure I brought this up before, like Jedi was my favorite because it had all the cool shit.
It's got a lot of explosions and stuff. Absolutely,
it had the Sarlacc pit. It had Jabba. It had
when you're
Endor.
A kid,
it had all the cool shit.
When you're a kid. The stuff in the middle with Yoda is boring.
Right.
And the stuff even when they're fixing the Millennium Falcon is boring. You know?
Well, yeah, Empire doesn't have like a ton of like action stuff.
But there's one scene where like it's like there's the tension between Han and Leia in the ship is just fucking great. And like they're saying things that like George Lucas would never write in a million years. In fact, I'm sure if he had his druthers, he would change it digitally and have them blink more.
It's Lawrence Kasdan and Lee Brackett. And so you get a great line like, "I love you, I know," which was a Harrison Ford ad lib as opposed to the George Lucas scripted, "I don't like sand.
It's rough.
It's rough and coarse." So then we wanted to do this game.
It's like she's lost the will to live.
She died of a broken heart. Those are lines from the third movie, right? I don't know what they are.
Coming, Mr. Jetson.
we wanted to do this game of, like, one-upsmanship of, like...
It's like a name that tune.
Right.
I don't know if we can, though.
I don't either. It's a hard one to pull off. Like, a guy we know used to have this website where he would talk about actresses, or just girls, that he thought were hot. And it was like, today's girl is Alicia Cuthbert. And it's like, well, congratulations, you have eyes.
Right. It was all girls, like, you know, just super hot chicks. Right. Megan Fox. Like, yeah, she's hot. And it wasn't anything interesting or challenging.
Right.
And we always thought it would be way more interesting if he actually named an actress or a girl, in our case, an actress, who is not hot, but you can defend, and by the end of your defense, she is hot.
Yes. And I don't even know that I have a defense, but it's just like, again, it comes off sounding misogynist, and we don't really mean to, because it's not just, we're not just trying to reduce women to hotness, but it was like, Megan Fox is not interesting, but, like, Helen Mirren is. But I think Helen Mirren has kind of accepted wisdom.
Lately, and it's because she also is fucking hot. But, yeah, like, there was a time when it was like, no, Helen Mirren is old. And,
right.
It's like, no, she still has it going on.
Yeah. So I don't know, like what's the weirdest, like, I have one I could jump to right away, but I feel like it's too far. Like, an actress that you're like, wow, she's such a fox, but not necessarily everybody thinks so.
Right. I always thought, for example, Ileana Douglas.
Okay. Well, was listen, a fox. You're throwing down the fucking gauntlet.
She right is an there. Alien. I think she is crazy looking.
Yeah.
I think, and not, I don't think that she is. I think there's no thinking about it. She is crazy looking. I remember watching her on Action, you know, the Jay Moore sitcom on Fox, and other, and she was in Goodfellas too.
Yeah, Goodfellas too. The Return of Durant. She to me will always be the girl from Cape Fear. When's the last time you saw Cape Fear?
More recently than you think.
She goes on a date with De Niro, and he bites her cheek off, and like that was my introduction to Ileana Douglas.
That's when I really fell for her, I think. Cheekless.
You're like, she's into some weird shit.
Right, absolutely. But it's documented amongst my friends that I have a kind of a weird penchant for aliens.
Yes.
I like alien faces. Yes. I like alien chicks.
Zoe Saldana
kind of, although she just seems
less
like a
an
C
alien
word
than a praying mantis.
Yeah, she just is also just like a, you know, seems like a bitch, you know. Yeah. And I don't know, maybe she's not, maybe she's lovely, but it just, she comes across like very cold.
Yeah. She's very
like,
actressy.
A Fruza Balk is kind of like up there maybe a little bit. She's definitely, I don't know, I'm sure some people think she's hot, but I think people that think she's hot because she's like a punk.
Yeah.
I don't think she's hot because she's a punk. I don't want the goth Fruza Balk. I want Fruza Balk, no makeup, like, you know, that's the Fruza Balk I want.
I almost feel like the game's over because you threw down Ileana Douglas.
What are you
Douglas
talking about? You've talked about Laura Dern before.
Yeah, but Laura Dern I think is conventionally like pretty.
No.
No. I was going to go either Marcia Gay Harden.
I would say Marcia Gay Harden is more attractive than
Laura Dern.
Laura Dern,
really?
Yeah, for sure. Well, she's a brunette. I like brunettes.
This is the most sexist we've ever
seen.
Yeah,
it really
been
is. It really is.
Michelle Monaghan, by the way, who's very pretty, you know, but definitely is like a weird child of Marcia Gay Harden and Liv Tyler. Like if those two got, if they mated, you know, on Conan O'Brien.
Wait, Michelle Monaghan, what is she in? She's
Kiss,
got
Kiss,
the
Bang, Bang.
She's got the. Oh no, she's. I think she's really pretty.
She's super pretty. I'm not saying she's not.
She gets
but
naked
just,
in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
She looks so much like Marcia Gay Harden and Liv Tyler.
I'm thinking Bridget Moynihan, who is kind of weird looking with her linebacker shoulders. She's got a swimmer's body, like Michael Phelps' swimmer's body.
I guess along the same lines as Marcia Gay Harden, I was going to throw down Lily Taylor.
Lily Taylor is interesting.
Yeah.
She was on, what was I watching recently? Name some older movies that she had been in.
Mystic Pizza.
Mystic Pizza. Oh, Say Anything.
Say Anything.
Yeah. And she is definitely an acquired taste. And if nothing else, High Fidelity kind of shows her in a negative, like, it's I'm so glad to be. And even her character is like, I don't, that's just heartbreaking.
Right. And the only reason she's like, I guess, a defendable choice is because there was a movie called Dogfight with River Phoenix that's entirely about, like, how ugly she is, because it's, like, it's a bunch of army guys trying to win a bet, like, who can bring the ugliest girl to this dance or
something. So it's like, she's all that.
Not exactly, because that's plainy Janey ponytail.
Right. Kyler Lee is so ugly.
With her glasses and her paint-covered overalls. So Lily Taylor is like, a whole movie was made about how she's ugly, but I don't think she is, you know.
For the record, in defense of, and I think it might be interesting to really think about that, you and me, to think about this and come back and try to one-up who we've just put down. I think if you saw Ileana Douglas in like walking through the mall or something, or you're in Hollywood and you're at a restaurant, you would be struck by her beauty.
Perhaps.
I think that she is crazy looking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But she is so like, how could you not keep your eyes open while you bang her?
Well, again, it's a question of, and I think sort of what we are getting at, or maybe not, is like...
That we're not just perverts.
No.
Establish that
like,
I am, but...
That I, at least I am, I won't speak for you, certainly drawn to actresses who look sort of more unique, maybe, than like, you know, Bridget Moynihan, you brought up. She's pretty, but like, she's generic, you know?
Yeah,
and I'm sure, lots of people think she's so gorgeous.
A better example, I think, is Kate Beckinsale. People are obsessed and in love with Kate Beckinsale, and to me, she's definitely pretty, if not very sharp and angular, and kind of like skinny and frail, and you think you'd like break her by touching her. But yeah, there's something utterly generic about her.
My problem with Kate Beckinsale is that she won't stop making Underworld movies. If she would just stop making Underworld movies, I could see past my problems with her. So maybe this is a horrible conversation, and we're sorry to have had it. But, you know, you can either email us or you can get a conversation going on Facebook. I would be interested in hearing other people's opinions, actors or actresses. Obviously, we have plenty of female listeners, like... Who is maybe the least conventionally handsome actor that you have a weird crush on?
I'll also say this: if I were a chick, and you know, sometimes there's questions.
Sometimes it's tucked back.
It's tucked.
You go down to the docks.
There's two
some hustling.
There's two actors on Boardwalk Empire.
Yes, a show I don't watch.
Right, a show I try to watch.
I don't like boardwalks, and I don't like Empire.
There are two actors on that show who. If nothing else, and maybe with some of these women also, and again, I obviously make the leap to banging Ileana Douglas, and I shouldn't do that because if our point is to say, like, they're unique looking, and they are talented human beings, and I'm like, I want to be inside her. That's bad news. That's bad mojo. But I think that there, Michael Pitt, and I forgot the other...
Michael Shannon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Both those Michaels are crazy looking, but are fascinating to watch.
I haven't seen Michael Pitt lately.
Michael Pitt's on Boardwalk Empire,
too. In his early days, he had almost like a pretty face. Like,
no, it's...
Like
it's,
a feminine face.
It's definitely feminine, but it's not... I don't think it's attractive. I mean, there's some... His hair is all greasy, and he's got these big lips, and he's...
Michael Shannon is definitely a weird bug.
But there's something about that that is like... Well, he's obviously very talented, and just like you can't not watch him, and he puts across a more machismo than a lot of, like, macho actors do.
Yeah, right.
Because he just is like... Don't fuck with me type of, you know, I don't know.
And that's the thing. Like, Erica is obsessed with John Hamm. It's well documented on this podcast.
John Hamm's beautiful.
That's the thing. It's like, he would probably be awesome even if he didn't look like John Hamm just because of what
he's got a great personality.
Exudes.
Right.
But the fact that he looks like John Hamm is like, you fucking asshole. Way to ruin it for the rest of us. And there are not many actresses who are able to pull off that same thing.
Right.
Just like, so talented, so funny, so likable, so charming, but also... Like a perfect physical specimen.
Well,
you know?
For a long time, and this is not shocking or it's not out there, but you always had a crush on Janine Garofalo because of her personality.
Yeah.
Her personality is what makes her even more
attractive. She's super cute, too.
She is, although now she's crazy tattooed and stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
I know JB, I hope I don't, if he wants to talk about this in the future, he loves Rachel Dratch.
Yes.
JB has a huge crush on that siren, so.
So either on Facebook or on email, just let's get a whole discussion going.
I'd love to see what people...
Yeah, because you know that somebody's going to come up with something that you're like, what? No, that person is just empirically attractive.
Right, we all have our Amanda Schulz. We all have our Liv Tyler's for you, specifically in that thing you do.
Yeah.
We all have the girl that like, yes, obviously this person is very attractive.
That's not really up for debate.
Although I'd even argue on the flip side, the obverse, is that like a Halle Berry.
Yeah.
I find her so asexual.
That's the thing. It's like, you look at her, and of course she's beautiful, but like, in a generic way. I mean,
she looks like a drawing, right?
Johnny Depp is, you know, so many women are just in love with Johnny Depp. And at least he's like a very interesting actor and a huge weirdo as a guy. So there's more, I think, to latch on to. But like with a Halle Berry, like, yes, she's beautiful, but so what?
Well, I get the feeling that her face is like perfectly symmetrical, and she's got a beautiful body. And then I just don't, but there's nothing, and again, maybe I'm wrong, just as I kind of said with Ileana Douglas, if you saw her, you'd be, like, blown away. I'm sure if I saw Halle Berry, walking down the street, I might be like, wow, she is a knockout.
Of course.
But there's something, but maybe it's her empty personality or
and
something.
And that's the
too.
Thing, from like a movie star, we want
I think her husband's more attractive, the guy with the hair and
loser
the...
Loser husband, they're not together.
What's his name? That crazy remember. Like dancer guy
Eric
with the dreadlock?
Eric
Benet? Something like
Boom!
That.
Boom!
Wow. Ramsey.
You know, a Hugh Jackman is another one of these guys that like Erica's in love with, and it's like, he has to be a fucking asshole because... He's obviously a super good-looking guy, but then he's also, like, super nice and charming, and he can sing and dance, and there's nothing wrong with him. He loves his wife. He's a great guy.
There's something wrong with him. He pees his pants a lot. I heard he pees his pants all the time.
Well, pee in your pants is the coolest.
I take some solace in the fact that Jon Hamm is a shorter man.
Yes, that's
true. By the way,
true.
He probably isn't even that short. He's probably, like, 5'9".
Right.
But it's like, I'm 6'3", 6'4", and I'm like, yes, I have at least one thing up on you, a-hole.
Yeah. So I'll be interested to hear what people say. Hopefully people play along. Thank you guys for listening to this
When you do play along, be prepared for the smackdown that we say, nope, wrong. Like, you're wrong. Like, we're going to totally argue with you.
But only because that person is, what, conventionally attractive?
Oh, no, I just probably won't agree with what they have to say.
Okay.
I'm just a jerk.
No. Thank you for listening to this weird, shapeless, non-episode of This Movie. Remember to email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. Start thinking of your favorite moment to win our stuff.
Yes.
And we will talk to you guys soon. Remember, there's no outro music because Doug was touched in the back of a bike shop.
But real quick, though, Harvard Man, there is a great scene where I want to say...
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
She, like, bounces up and down on Freddie Prinze Jr.'s, like, crotch.
Adrian Grenier.
Oh, it's not Freddie Prinze Jr.?
They were in Scooby-Doo together.
Scooby-Doo. Boom, ba doom 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 doom. Boom, ba doom 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 doom. Boom, ba doom 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 doom. Do 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 do